All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? Again! Hey, how we doing? It's a Friday on The Usual Suspects, and Sir Hack-a-Lot is back. How about it? Barry Laminack, don't call it a comeback. Oh. He's been here for a few minutes. Nick behind the glass. That's right. All of The Usual Suspects present and accounted for. So that means today is going to be a very good day in the neighborhood. Fellas.
So?
I already heard you. Holy cow.
You sound worse than the first time.
Yeah.
On Monday.
I was thinking about that coming in. I was like, man. On Monday, I sounded like...
Oh, my God.
On Monday, I sounded like grown-ass man Barry Laminack. I sounded like my balls dropped. Like, I was like, hey, what's up? Today, I sound like prepubescent Barry Laminack. Like, I can't wait for my balls to drop. This is going to be so great.
I feel like you didn't sound as bad in the elevator.
Really?
I really feel like that. I feel like you sound worse over, like, just from 5 minutes ago.
Actually, no, I think it's better than it was earlier.
Wow. I'm just not going to talk, because I feel like after about a half hour, he's done.
I feel it getting better. That's why I got my throat coat.
Your throat?
That is so. No, I don't want to hear any childish sex jokes from either of you. This is good tea.
With that voice, and you saying throat coat,
yep. You better.
And you think it's not being isolated.
You better get to Cream City in a hurry.
How many times did I get called Will Fuller yesterday by you sons of bitches?
No, you know what?
That was a one-time joke.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Didn't keep using it.
No, it wasn't, Hope. Somebody tweeted me, hey, what's up, Will Fuller? What happened today? Kiss my ass, okay? Kiss my ass.
Well, and then the other thing was, I was going off on Dominic Foxworth on ESPN because for 3 days, he's carried around his tea and his hot water.
Yeah.
And every time he says more than a sentence comment, his voice just...
I get it.
Oh, I do too. I'm hearing it.
So,
you sound like Dominic Foxworth today.
What's weird is I feel like I sound worse now than I did on Monday, but I feel so much better. I slept until 2 p.m. yesterday, got up for like 4 hours, and then went right back to bed. I got up at 11:30 this morning. I was like, oh, boy.
I feel like I'm doing the show with Demi Moore. It kind of sounds like it.
Tia Leone from Bad Boys.
She's hot.
Yeah, she is smoking hot.
Yep.
Especially that movie.
Sticks.
I watched the whole. Yeah, she did.
Yep.
I watched that movie this past week because I had nothing to do but lay in a hotel room and be sick.
Timing was good because they're bringing the new one
out. I think that's part of what sparked it. I was like, let me go back and watch the original.
Yeah.
And see if it holds up. It still holds up.
Mike Lowry.
Yeah, it still holds
good
up.
That's movie.
Funny. And by the way, it got like a 6.5 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Or like IMDb or whatever. I'm like, that's a classic.
Yes, it is. I would agree.
How
with
does
that
movie get that low of a score?
So, I don't know.
People are dumb.
And Nick's probably never seen it, so there's nothing.
Nick, have you seen Bad Boys?
He's already shaking his head.
You haven't seen
Bad Boys?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Both of them. I used to love Martin Lawrence. I was talking to Joel about, I actually heard or read somewhere that they're trying to bring that show Martin back and how I don't think it's going to be a good
show. No. If it doesn't
bring back
him.
Well, and
are they bringing him back with?
My understanding, they're all coming back, despite the fact that I think Martin Lawrence and Gina had
sexual harassment.
Yeah,
that's the first thing I said to Nick is, how are they going to bring everybody back after that little?
And look, I could don't hold me to it. I might have read it wrong, but to my understanding, or I thought I read that they kind of worked that part out. It's more about the business details.
I'm still here after Nick sexually harassed me, so we're good.
Now, did he harass you, or was that when you grabbed his junk? Totally.
That was retaliation.
Retaliation for me. Hugging you.
Yeah. You humped me. You humped my back like a wild rabbit dog.
No wonder on the road.
He jumped on my back. He was like, yeah, you like that.
Negative.
And then he was just hunching.
Nope.
I was like, what is that?
No
is
wonder
that
why you have so many problems with people on the road wanting to change your oil and press your doorbell.
Yeah.
It's because a hug means all bets are off.
Apparently.
I mean, Nick gives you a hug and you just go right for a groin grab.
No, he hunched me. Let's put it all out on the table.
Donna was my witness. Lauren Pope was my witness. Aaron Pope was my witness. I got like 4 witnesses there.
That throat coat, baby.
You violated me.
I violated you? Well, I apologize. It was just in retaliation.
All good. Well, at least you're here.
Yeah.
I didn't think you'd make it, honestly. Sounded so bad on Monday. I figured it'd be like a 10-day ordeal.
No, it was
already
good
been
to have
a 10-day ordeal.
Well, I mean, from it's the I know
several months. And now I got Tyler going, bro, you may have walking pneumonia.
Yeah, I heard him say that.
What? Well, and what? And now walk pneumonia is no joke.
Yeah,
you see the guy from ESPN? Was it Edward Atchaw?
Yeah, it really isn't.
From
you're
ESPN,
gonna get your wish, man.
34 years old.
I'm gonna die from pneumonia, and Nick's gonna be like, "Yeah, bitch, co-host."
Yeah, he was 34 years old. They said he was, you know, really climbing the ladder. He was covering college football. They used him on TV on a lot of stuff. He said he had pneumonia. Said his fiance was taking care of him, and a couple days later, he was gone.
That's crazy, man.
Look, back in the day, dude, there was basically no. They really didn't know how to treat or cure pneumonia. No. Most people who got pneumonia, like way back in the day, they died. A lot of them died in their 30s and 20s. Yeah. It was very common.
I do need to get to a doctor. So I went, Monday, I went to a Ready clinic.
I thought that you had a prescription and everything.
No.
You told us after the show Monday. You had a prescription. You just hadn't taken it yet.
Yeah, no, it was this cough medicine.
Well, we thought it was an antibiotic.
That's a good look.
They loaded me up.
That's the steroid or the antibiotic?
This is the cough medicine. I don't have an antibiotic. They gave me, I got a steroid.
You just go to the red bottle.
I got my cough medicine, my pseudo
effect. Syrup? You brought some syrup in there.
Yeah, I got some scissor. I got some, you
is
want some
purple?
Get some Sprite, baby. but no, I got all kinds of stuff, man. I even had to get on an inhaler, like an asthmatic nerd.
Oh, can't wait to get through this one.
Just drink that whole bottle there. Just
probably should.
Every 4 hours, 3:30. I'm due. I gotta have another shot. It's actually a shot, not a
like a shot cup,
like a little measuring cup thingy,
like an actual syringe.
Oh, that kind of shot.
Oh, really?
10 ml. Yeah.
Anal? No.
Ass cheek?
Yeah.
Yep. One or the other, your
it's
choice.
It's still liquid, you dumbasses. You squirt it in your mouth.
That is like
that
a needle.
Is definitely anal.
I thought,
I'm not. Joel's over here. Did you get any suppositories? What? Tell me about them.
Barry's got a Moon River going on. So, Moon River. It's 3:30. Hello.
Yeah, I'm going to do it live on Twitch. Make sure you're there. Shove a syringe in my butt.
Fred can have his. He went to the colonoscopy. Live.
That's true.
Yeah. You could just do the syrup.
Didn't him and AJ do that?
I think so.
You definitely sound
right. Yeah, it's going to be.
I missed that. That's my bad.
You know there's people in the car just punching the steering wheel going, clear your throat.
Well, they can't hear.
It's clear. Yeah.
It's clear. It's clear.
Kiss my ass.
It's clear.
This is not going to be. I didn't come in for 3 hours of this crap.
Oh, Barry, you want a cracker?
I hate you.
Right off the top, Barry, what did you miss that you wanted to talk about over the long weekend?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Just wondering if there was anything that we covered yesterday while you were out that maybe you had a comment or two you wanted to get in on.
Yeah, it does kind of suck of all the days to miss.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
Yeah, but I'm sure y'all kept it 100, right?
We tried. We had a lot of fun.
There's a couple people that missed you. They're like, no, Barry. Sorry, not checking in.
Really?
We had a couple texts. Yeah, some people missed you.
There's people that didn't miss me. So
I didn't see. I would have read those texts, but they didn't show up on the text line. No.
My trained ear got your best friend off the air.
Your what?
My trained ear got your best friend off the air in about 7.5 seconds.
Really? Oh, he tried to call in again?
And I went, nope, cut it. See ya.
That dude.
Joel's really good about catching his voice because he like changes it. I didn't even notice. So.
Yeah. Tried to be Stephon Marbury yesterday.
Oh, he did.
That was the alias.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So weird.
So plenty more to talk about as we get ready for a big weekend, as we have wild card weekend on the agenda. So we've got NFL football doubleheader Saturday, Sunday, Rockets and Sixers tonight. Weird little quirk in the schedule. As the Rockets had a couple days off, they play tonight. I believe they have 4 days off before they play again.
That's so weird.
Isn't it? And then late in the month, they have like this plethora of games.
Back-to-backs?
Yeah, and just a whole bunch of games in a short period of time to finish the month. But I guess you take the rest where you can get it, so they rest now so that they can play a lot later.
Yeah.
But that's a big one tonight on national TV, so we can talk about that as well. And, of course, we always like to have you participate within the show. That means the HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Call that number. Text that number. Also, you can always reach us via Twitter on and off show hours. At the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is sick, or at Barry is funny. At Barry is funny is where you can reach him. At Barry is sick would just make me feel good, because he needs to feel good and soon. So there's other ways. Those are ways you reach the show, and we'll get rolling. Other than that, was your New Year's okay?
It was pretty uneventful because I didn't do anything.
Because you were still sick?
Yeah, so we were off Tuesday, and thank God.
We were talking about that on the show. That was so weird that we were all driving home and listening, going, wait a minute, what'd you say? We're off?
Because all day you were like, yeah, we're only out New Year's Day. Yeah. We got two shows and then off. Truth be told, I was kind of glad. I was like, I needed that, and then I needed New Year's Day, and then I needed yesterday. So I feel better. I don't feel 100%.
At least you feel better than you look and sound.
Wow. When I look.
Sound.
Thanks. Jerk.
All right, I love you too, Joel. Sarah Barshop will be here at 3:30 via the phone line. She is the beat reporter for ESPN that covers your Houston Texans. We'll talk everything about the Bills, Texans, and the preview of the game coming up tomorrow in the first game of the NFL slate. So lots to get to, and hopefully you're all along for the ride. We appreciate you, suspects, right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, just getting started. Usual Suspects on an Friday in the big city, getting you ready for a big weekend of football and other things. So Barry is back. Nick and I here as we finish out the week for you strong in some regards. So one thing to mention, Dr. Dre mentioned it first. Someone on the text line got it as well. But the whole Martin reboot, Tommy's passed away.
Damn. Okay.
So that would be kind of
so
tough.
They would need a replacement for him.
And that would be tough to replace Tommy.
I think he's funny. I would want the original on that character too, the original guy.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, he'd be kind of.
Who
stiff.
Would you get to replace Tommy?
That's like
he said. You want the original? He'd be kind of stiff.
See, now look.
Now we're making fun of dead people. Now, okay,
that's,
Joel.
That's we don't. That's so unlike this show.
Several people texted that he was passed away.
Disease.
Yeah. So they can figure that out. Yeah, who would be Tommy?
Yeah, that's a good question.
If you're going to go with the same body type and everything, it makes it more difficult because he was tall. I think David Alan Grier is the kind of guy, facial expression-wise and otherwise, that might have some of the characteristics that could pull it off. But
he was on the show. Wasn't he Brother Love on the show?
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, he was Brother Love. Yeah. I don't think you could have him.
Okay.
It's got to be somebody, probably like Key from, is Key the tall, bald guy from Key and Peele?
Uh-huh.
Or is it Peele? Which one is the tall, bald guy? Whoever that is, that'd be a good Tommy.
That's not bad. That's
right?
A good call. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Or Brandon Walker on Channel 2. He's a reporter. I think he could pull off Tommy.
I don't know.
Look him up. Look up Brandon Walker on KPRC, and I guarantee you'll go, you know what? He could be Tommy.
Okay.
He's got some characteristics. Get him a hat.
I guess they just write Tommy out of the show?
I guess so. Evidently something happened. He moved away.
He got a job and got relocated.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, he ain't got no job. That'll be the whole shtick anytime Tommy comes up.
I mean, I think there's a million ways. If they really want to do it, I think they're looking at other shows like Full House and other shows that have had some success with the reboots. Like, some people actually watched the reboot Full House. I didn't think it was
Fuller House.
Fuller House.
Did 90210 or one of those do that?
Full House did a reboot. I want to say, who else did a reboot?
There's
like three, I think.
Yeah. Reboots never go that well, I feel like. I might be wrong, but I feel like they never go that well. Yeah, I guess.
If you're going to go the local approach.
What about Jerome Solomon? Might as well. If you need a bald black guy, just get Jerome Solomon to be.
Okay.
No, he's too short.
I was going to say, again, when that's the drawback there.
Got to be tall, bald, and black.
The Gilmore Girls had a reboot?
Really?
Yeah, they had a reboot too. I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't know that either, but I know that they were talking about a Cheers reboot.
Oh, don't run Cheers.
Yeah, they were talking about that recently.
Don't ruin it. And I'm kind of like, don't ruin it with Martin.
And they keep clamoring for a Friends reboot, which they've discussed. I've had enough of that too.
I feel like that show actually would have more success than a lot of the ones we just mentioned, to be honest. Because I feel like a lot of people watch Friends.
Oh, sure they did, but you know what?
Again, very popular.
Just like a lot of these different sitcoms that had longevity that was and popularity. Don't ruin it. Yeah, unless you're absolutely sure that when you bring it back, don't ruin it because people have so many fond memories that the last thing you want to do is the last memory that they have is, oh, and then they brought it back and it sucked.
It's like one of those things. It's like once you capture lightning in a bottle and you're able to do a show like that, like Martin or Friends or whatever, even Seinfeld, then you're not going to be able to get that again. I mean, when you look at – rarely do spinoffs work, right? Like Young Sheldon is out there from The Big Bang Theory, and it seems to be doing okay. I've never watched
that episode. Different World was the spinoff of The Cosby Show.
Right. And Frasier was a spinoff of Cheers. Yep. But rarely do they work. And then if you try to reboot them or bring them back, it usually never does. So I just feel like you cheapen it or you
ruin
it. It's
just like sequels in the movie theater. I mean, with very rare occasions when you get like a Star Wars or a, you know, or one of those, or the Harry Potters or something like that. But, it, you know, we were talking about it when we were talking about Bad Boys. At least, you know, you hope that they can carry the torch, you know, one more, two more. But that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and don't push it too far. And especially if the second one works. Like Rocky was that rare exception. And at the end, even that wore out its welcome with some of the last couple sucked.
Really
but
bad.
The first couple were pretty good.
Yeah.
So once you kind of, like you said, catch lightning in a bottle or you, and then you get lucky enough to have it roll over to another one or two, then at a certain point, just, you know what, say, it's let's like ride off into the sunset with success.
It's like anything. It's like the stuff that we do on the show. Sometimes it's a one-time thing. And if you try to go back and do it again, it doesn't have the same appeal or the same, then it hit the same. It's like any kind of bit like that or like I said, lightning in the bottle. It's just, you just have to deal with the fact that that was a one-time thing and we're good. Because as much as I love Martin, I don't know that I want to watch it again.
Yeah, me
just
either.
Seeing him in Bad Boys.
I'm going to check it out, but.
I saw the previews for Bad Boys. I'm like, oh, Martin's so fat and slow. And like, that's so disappointing.
And a lot of it, too, has to do with the era. You know, everything was, it worked because there was a certain era.
Yeah.
There was a certain feel and flow, and they capitalized on that. And now we're in a totally different era with a totally different audience. In a lot of cases, you'll get millennials to tune it in going, what the hell is this? And then if they don't get it and they're not tuned in from what happened in the past, they're not going to stay with it.
It's a really good point, too, because the jokes that Martin made back in the day, so some of those are going to be considered inappropriate. Mm-hmm. So now you've got writers writing in a different style and
or maybe even
more conservative.
Not
yeah.
Because his humor was actually like whatever he did in Martin, it wasn't the exact same thing that he carried over to the Bad Boy movie series, but it was very similar. Martin was very much Martin in Bad Boys movies as he was in the series.
And on stage in his comedy.
And then, so to me, obviously Martin Lawrence has been around for a very long time, but what made him famous for me was the show mm-hmm. and then the Bad Boys movie series. And since those two things, he really hasn't been relevant outside his comic. Any one of his comic series.
He got in a lot of trouble too, which didn't help.
I'm talking about performance wise. Yeah, well, he went in the streets and he was high on drugs and he started yelling at people. I remember that. But
and then it surfaced with Tisha Campbell and others with
that was during
harassment and stuff. Right, but then it came out after that she was really talking about it and
the whole reason why this reboot is even possible is because of her, because she obviously had to give the okay.
Sure,
you know.
Well.
They're not just going to say, hey, we're going to do this.
He could
reboot.
Be divorced. I mean, they could have done it without her.
But again, that's just a recipe for disaster.
If you notice, the last couple of seasons when all that was going on, they were in separate cities or whatever. So they were never in the same scene together. So they were never even on set at the same time. So I feel like they could have done it. But it just, if no Tommy, no Gina, it's going to be a different scenario. I still don't think it's going to be as good. I think it's wishful thinking if it happens. But
because Gina's still around, she's acting. She does a lot of things. I saw her recently. Lisa had like Entertainment Tonight on the TV one night. And she popped up that she's still in Hollywood doing.
I used to think she was cute. I never thought she was hot.
Really?
I always thought she was cute.
I think frame wise, she had potential. But I mean, I always thought Tisha Campbell
was
pretty
cute?
Good.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Tisha Campbell.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Gina. I'm not Gina. What was her best friend?
Pam.
Pam. I'm talking about Pam. Pam is still hanging around. Pam's doing a lot of acting.
Pam's pretty sexy, too, though.
Yeah. Pam, frame-wise for me, but Tisha Campbell overall was...
Yeah. Somebody brought up Nia Long the other day on the internet. It was trending.
And you and I talked about it previously.
I pulled up a picture of her like, boy, she still has her fastball. She's hot.
Yeah.
Like, smoking.
Yeah. By the way, before the show gets away from us, I want to wish a very happy birthday to my wife.
Hey, happy Lisa's birthday.
Happy birthday, Lisa.
So just awesome that she's always like, and don't put anything on social media. I was like, Lisa, what are you talking about? I mean, you're my wife. She's like, I know, but I don't like to draw attention to that stuff. I was like, no, sorry, too late. And then it was already out there. But so Lisa's birthday is today.
Well,
and,
happy birthday, Lisa. Yeah,
happy birthday to her. And also to ATX Hobo Girl. Dez's birthday is today. So Pink Valkyrie and Dez are listening and out there celebrating. And, you know, they're looking for which drink to order next. And they keep scratching their temple going, what should we do? Because they're not listening to Dez's favorite show. They're listening to Christina's favorite show.
Is it bothering Dez that she's not listening?
I think it is. And I made a point of pointing that out on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you, Dez.
Yeah, we appreciate you. Happy birthday. Hopefully it's a happy weekend.
By the way, Steelers fan Juan, because it's an FYI Friday, he said F stands for flu.
Very true. Yeah.
Well done, Juan. Well done.
Indeed, it was and is.
Shaq would be a good Tommy. No. Shaq's too big.
But otherwise, I could see it a little bit.
Too big.
Okay.
Somebody said, what's Horace Grant doing?
Can't read. One of them can't read. No, Harvey Grant can't read. I never told you that?
No.
Oh, my God, man.
Really? No, Horace. What do you mean Harvey Grant?
Yeah, the twin brothers, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so... I guess I kind of already went to it, but whether he can or he can't, there was a rumor. Let's just say there's a rumor out there that
now you're backtracking. Yeah, well,
let's just say there's a rumor out there that they weren't.
That
they
he's
weren't,
like R. Kelly.
They were kind of. They took the.
They can't read.
They didn't take
R. Kelly.
Evelyn.
Can't read.
Oh
yeah, and neither can what? Floyd Mayweather, people? Right? Floyd Mayweather. Same thing.
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather's not. Read. Yeah, he's bad.
Boy.
I'll get a story for you in the break.
Okay.
All right.
Sweet.
We'll continue to roll on. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You heard the man. Thanks to the Veritex Community Bank Studios, we are here live and in living color. And...
Keenan Ivory Wayans would be a good Tommy.
There you go.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, just solving problems.
You're right.
Shut up.
It's a good. So here we go with a little baseball news right off the top. It was breaking last night. I'm sure you've dabbled in it by now, but your boy is no longer an Astro. The joke's aplenty that the two MVPs of the 2019 World Series are now reunited as Will Harris joins Howie Kendrick on the Nationals, 3 years, $24 million or $8 million per, and Will Harris is gone.
Wow.
Just like that. Your thoughts?
Big blow to the bullpen. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was solid. Outside of what happened in the finals, he was the one constant, and we talked about it, and you took a while to come around to him, but he was the one constant in that bullpen that A.J. Hinch relied on.
I was
going to
say, he was the guy A.J. Hinch trusted.
That fans could kind of rely. I mean, there was so much up and down from the rest of that staff that it's going to be a big loss for this bullpen. Now you got to replace that arm as well.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
I don't know if they didn't want to pay him.
Well, they didn't. That's what I was going to get to.
They couldn't.
So here's the thing. So Mark Berman at Fox 26 had a lot of quotes as he got Will Harris evidently on the phone last night. And in regards to the Astros, his quote was, Will Harris's quote was, they weren't in the ballpark. No, they had kind of admitted to me they would have liked to have done more, but they weren't able to. For me, they were eliminated pretty early on in the process.
Yeah.
So that tells you right there that they're definitely counting some beans.
That's so weird to me.
They're over the luxury tax. And we haven't even played a game.
But just like you guys said, you can see... I felt like just looking at A.J. Hinch and his body language, you felt like he really did trust Will Harris. I would feel like A.J. would lobby to kind of keep him, but I don't know. I felt more comfortable about Will Harris in the postseason than a lot of the other pitchers in the bullpen.
But you're going to give Joe Smith four a year for 2 years or 3 years, whatever it is. You're going to give him four a year.
Yeah. That's the value, though.
He basically did nothing for you except for be a little inconsistent until he got to the playoffs. And then he was another guy in the postseason that A.J. Hinch would trust. But I just feel like if you can come up with four for Joe Smith, depending on what you do with some of these guys that are still free agents, you can't come up with eight a year for Will Harris. No. And he said the key was he wanted 3 years and they wouldn't consider it.
Well, that's...
That might be from a medical, too, where they know there's some things there that look like or say to them, maybe we get two more out of him at most, but I can't see committing to three.
Yeah, 3 years. I don't know if the Astros think that their window is 3 years beyond that. That's another good point.
Based on what they do with guys we've talked about, like Correa and Springer.
Yeah, you wonder what they think their window is and what are the, you know, there has to be some cost cutting somewhere. They can't continue with this payroll as is.
Right.
I mean, what's his name? Crane does not want to pay the luxury tax. He's not interested in that. So there's money that had to be cut or not re-signed. So this doesn't surprise me. I think it hurts because, yeah, that was a big part of that bullpen.
I liked him in the postseason. I felt like Joel had some rights to be concerned about him earlier in the year because I felt like he progressed as the season progressed. But, yeah, I would have liked to keep him. That's just my personal. But, look, 3 years, just like Joel said, it could be a medical situation. It could be, look, we don't want to give anything longer than 2 years considering we don't know where this team is going to be in 2 years. I don't know. I don't know what their mentality is behind it.
So there's the glass half empty looking approach because you have another guy that walks out the door. And the rumor from Ken Rosenthal is that Chirinos is the next to go. And yeah, that there are teams working on deals for him as well. So your starting catcher for most of the year last year is going to probably also have moved on. It's interesting to see where they go. But you look at, as I mentioned, glass half empty is those guys are leaving. Glass half full is you maximized guys that when you brought them in, they fit the mold of guys that you started with Charlie Morton. And you even with a Colin McHugh. And then you got to a Gerrit Cole, a power arm pitcher that was the number one overall pick in the draft, but really kind of dangled in the wind with Pittsburgh, had an all-star season, but you took him up a notch. You did the same thing with Will Harris. You got him off waivers from Arizona, and before you knew it, here's an all-star that's doing big things for you. So from a glass half full perspective, you look at it and go, guess what? We're just looking for the next Will Harris and not that you're going to get the next Gerrit Cole, but the next starter that you can turn into a guy that gets over the hump and gives you more.
The next three who pitches like a one or the next four that pitches.
And don't forget now with a guy like Urquidy, there's a guy that got off the scrap heap from the Mets, had Tommy John surgery, and he was a guy down the stretch that had some big innings for you and showed that he could be a guy that could step into your rotation next year.
Here's the thing, and we really didn't talk about this a lot as the offseason started, but I think Astros fans have to know that when you build a team that's as good and as good for as long as this team has been good, at some point you start to lose people. It's just going to happen. You lose stars. You lose key components.
You lose coaches.
You lose coaches. You lose the glue. And guys like Will Harris were the glue in that bullpen. He wasn't going to be your closer. He wasn't a bum, but he was the glue. He was the savvy vet. You know, so you're going to lose. It's just inevitable.
You lost Cora because, look, they want the next A.J. Hinch.
Yep.
So you lost a guy like Alex Cora to go manage the Red Sox. And, you know, and you've got the general manager of the Orioles came from the Astros from the baseball department.
I thought that was going to be a huge loss.
Yeah. So, I mean, you get the ultimate show of respect and tip of the cap in any sport is when you start getting players and front office and coaches plunked from other teams and because of the fact that they know that you're good and they like what you're doing.
It's just this is where you start to realize, okay, are you going to be the Cubs where it was kind of a flash in the pan? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to be the Yankees where you rebuild every year?
Sure.
And say what you want about the Yankees and their money, but take a look around that team. That's a lot of young dudes.
Boy, they sure did. Look what they did last year when we talked about, at one point, I think 8 of the 9 starters for the Yankees missed significant time. And yet, through all the time they missed, they didn't miss a beat because they had so many young guys they could just plug and play in so many different positions.
They've built that farm system, and obviously they pay with Giancarlo Stanton and everybody else. But, I mean, Aaron Judge came up through the Yankees. So you're going to find out what this Astros organization is. Was this a Florida Marlins? Maybe the Cubs was a bad
Florida
example.
Florida Marlins is a great example.
Cubs is probably – they're a little more consistent than somebody like the Marlins. But the Marlins put together a team, dismantled it. can they put together, and they did that a couple of different times. We're going to see what the Astros are.
Now, here's a question for you guys to spin off that glass half full, glass half empty, right? They've proven they can do that when they plunk a guy off of waivers or they trade for a guy. Why can't they do it with guys in their own farm system? Why isn't Forrest Whitley already becoming the next Garrett Cole because they've ramped up his spin rate and done the things that they did with a Charlie Morton or a Garrett Cole? Why aren't you finding guys? Because we constantly talk about, well, who are the two hot names, the position player and the pitcher of the year for the Astros? And every year, year in, year out, those guys more likely than not, like Martez. Martez was the guy that was untouchable in trades because he was going to be the next big-time pitcher for the Astros. And boom, he's gone. And then, or David Polino, who PED'd and then had arm issues and all these things. You look at it and you go, they've been able to do it with guys they've acquired from other systems. Why can't they do it within their own?
Because the guys that they've acquired from other systems have proven major league skills. They've been, rarely do you see the Astros go out. I guess a good example is Yordan. But rarely do you see the Astros go out and get a farmhand and turn them into a star. And I think that they thought maybe you're, but remember, going into last year, no one heard about Yordan. He wasn't on the radar. It was Forrest Whitley and Kyle Tucker.
It was a throw-in trade to get Fields to the Dodgers.
That wasn't a name that people were like, watch out for this guy. He could be rookie of the year. Nobody was saying that about Yordan Alvarez. And if they tell you they were, they're lying.
But Forrest Whitley's got a major arm, right?
Yeah, but here's the difference, though. There's the risk in drafting versus seeing a guy pitch at the major league level and thinking, okay, if we just tweak the way he grips his fastball, or if we just his arm slot, or there's things
secondary
we can do.
Pitch.
Yeah, there's things we can do, but he's got major league talent. You don't know that about Forrest Whitley. You don't know that about these guys coming up. You hope that they are because you're spending high draft picks on them and you scout them, but you know they've hit a lot. But I mean, think about how many draft picks there are in baseball. But and all it takes really is they hit on Altuve, they hit on, and he wasn't even a draft pick, but they hit on Bregman, they hit on Correa. And so you're hitting
on
some of these guys.
And they drafted him. But yeah, no,
so you're hitting on these guys, but.
That's the only thing question I have because, you know, you look at a guy like Josh James, who's got that unbelievable arm. But that, you know, it's a constant challenge to try and keep that guy focused, to try and keep him in the zone, to do a lot of things. But yet when they go out and they plunk a guy, and like I said, they got Will Harris off of waivers. You know, they got Colin McHugh in a steal of a deal. They just beat for basically nothing. And again, they got Morton, they got Cole. And what they did was they took him up and took him to another level. Yeah. And then when they got to be too good for their own, because they maximized all the abilities for a low price tag, when it came time to pay him, it was like the Patriots. When you look at Patriots and you look at Nate Solder or Flowers with the Lions or what's his name, the tackle that went to the Raiders, at a certain point the Patriots go, you know what? We got all we can get out of him. At that price, we got a bargain. But when you want us to pay like that, we'll let him walk. And in a lot of cases, if you want to come back, they take him back.
Yeah, it's a great analogy. Comparing what the Astros are trying to do to the Patriots, because it's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. Look, we've gotten all we can get out of you for the value.
Right.
Now you're overpriced to us. Yep. It doesn't mean you're not worth it. It doesn't mean you're not good, but you know, considering what we're working under and the constraints of the salary cap, especially in football, this is where we slot these things. I mean, look, Tom Brady's never made what he should have made.
And that was on his own doing to say that I'll take less so that we can add more to the team. But look at how many running backs that from the Patriots played great. They let them go sign big money deals with other teams. When it didn't work out there, they said, hey, but if you want to come back at a cheap price, we'll do it. What's the big running back from Oregon that punched the kid from Boise State at the end of the bowl game? LeGarrette Blount. Played great for him, got him a Super Bowl. He got paid somewhere else, didn't work out. They said, come back, finish the year with us.
Yeah.
We can use you. They did, and he was a winner again. So it's a Patriot way, what the Astros are trying to do, in the fact that we'll maximize our return on investment, where we pay cheap, but we develop you into big time. And at a certain point, we'll have to maybe cut the cord, but realize, hey, we got a hell of a deal, and you did too, because you got a major contract somewhere else.
In a lot of ways, that's what they're doing, but unlike the Patriots, the Astros weren't afraid to go out and get stars. They went out and got a Verlander.
Sure.
You know, they went out and added a Greinke. Patriots don't really do that.
But here's the other. No, you're right. But here's the other thing with even a Verlander. He didn't want to come here originally, but yeah. but once his first contract was over, he didn't want to leave because he loved what they were able to do. He was falling off with Detroit. He wasn't quite anywhere near what he used to be when he was dominant. He got his dominance back, and something with the system might have something to do with that because then he didn't want to leave.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. If you're an Astros fan, stay positive because hopefully that system will bring you the next versions of Will Harris, Gerrit Cole, and others. But Will Harris, see you later, buddy. Washington National. All right, we'll continue with a lot more. We've got plenty to get to, basketball, football, and some other things. If you want to get something off your chest you've been thinking about for a while, 713-780-3776. Barry's going to get off of his chest and put it in a Kleenex. You can put it either on a call or a text message, and we'll have it for you right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Hour number one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects. As we continue to span the globe, we talk about, and some people like to sometimes take shots at, you know, what we do and the fact that, you know, is sports that important? Michael Mulvihill, who is the SVP of Fox Sports and also gets his data and information from Nielsen, who does the ratings and research, he tweeted out that of this year, 2019's 100 most watched shows, how many of them were sports? And before you guess, and we've talked about it in the break, but in 1999, 21 of the top 100 shows were sports. In 2009, 44. 2019, 93.
Damn.
Of the top 100 were sports shows.
Damn.
So that's pretty amazing when you talk about does sports matter and why are people so passionate about sports? Because it drives what they watch on television. When you look at it consistently, week in, week out, you know the number one rated show on TV every week?
What?
Is Sunday Night Football.
Really?
Yep. Sunday Night Football consistently is number one for of all more TV so than shows Monday Night week Football. To week. Because the matchups suck. That's kind of the Barry Laminack point of view.
Yeah, that's true.
The matchups aren't as great on Monday night, but they make sure, because that's cable, ESPN and cable, the matchups aren't as great, and they try to get every team on a national broadcast at least once.
Right.
But for Sunday Night Football, over-the-air television, big-time partner in NBC, they boosted up on the matchups, and that's why it's more compelling, and that's why it's number one almost every week during football season.
That's crazy.
That's a big number.
It doesn't surprise me that sports is that dominant, though. There's really not. Plus, do the Nielsen ratings take into account Netflix now?
Netflix is what I was going to ask.
Netflix that's and Hulu and Amazon Prime. People aren't watching as much TV. They've moved to streaming. Like, I really don't watch a lot of television anymore. It's crazy.
Yeah, that is. That's an interesting. And again, it's another. When we talk about snafus, and we always tell people about how just non-precise the radio ratings are. With the meters and who gets them and how many there are and you know all the different things. But even from a TV perspective, when they don't factor in the internet, when they don't factor in and they put into some kind of data how many people watched it by either, you know, either they DVR'd it, how many people watched it online, on demand. So, you know, the ratings are still pretty outdated in terms of where they should be for monitoring overall eyeballs.
I guarantee you once there's a lot of people that don't cut the cord because it's risky because you can't get all the sports you want. Right. Like I haven't cut the cord because there's only a few different non cable providers that'll have Rockets and Astros games for AT&T Sportsnet. So I'm like, I'll wait until it's more readily available and I have other options than what the ones that exist. So once that happens, once you can cut a cord and not go with cable and not have to worry about where you get your sports from, that's going to change the whole dynamic again.
Oh, there's no doubt. But again, you know, but we saw.
Because I bet those numbers plummet.
You're right. Because we saw what the future may bring. When I was still with the Rockets, and we made that deal when it was AT&T, before it was AT&T Sportsnet, it was Comcast. When we made the Comcast deal, and you remember now, only 40% of Houston could see those games.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was, people weren't down with paying an extra $2 or $3, even if it was only $2 or $3. They didn't want to miss Astros and Rockets, but if it meant paying an extra $3 or $4 on their bill every month, they weren't down with that.
Yeah.
They would just check the score on the internet and the updates and follow the updates live.
I was one of them, dude. I wasn't going to pay. I wasn't going to pay extra for that. That's when I had cable. I was like, I'm not paying Comcast $3 just to see the Rockets. That's ridiculous.
What's crazy, though, is I bet people would pay that for football.
Yeah, you know, I somehow believe that they would,
I believe that, too.
And what's really crazy is when you think about the amount of games you get for the extra $3 or $4 when it comes to baseball and basketball versus football. The value is in the baseball and basketball for
$3.
Perhaps
the anticipation of football, because there's so few games.
It's rare, yeah.
I don't know.
But, we don't have to worry about that because they have the national deals. That's the weird dynamic of the marketing of basketball and baseball being a regional thing and not a national thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hated that deal. And most of Houston hated it. I mean, when 40% of the market can't get the Rockets, why should they be happy about that? I thought that was a terrible deal.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this.
It really was.
If you were lucky enough to be one of some of the 40% that got that channel, if you're a sports fan in Houston, it's amazing what you missed. Because if that channel was able to stay, they essentially dedicated every day from 5 to 6, I think it was, the local version of SportsCenter. It was nothing but from Astros, Rockets, Texans, to the colleges and the high schools, and it was live guests in studio. It would have made a lot of money for us because every day they had different radio personalities and local personalities on as they went through highlights and talked about different things. It was basically like a televised radio show. But all the local programs they had was just like – it was like sex for the sports fan on a daily basis. You were just like, God, my day sucked. But guess what? For the next 3 or 4 hours, I can watch – that show, then the pregame, then the game itself, whether it be Rockets or Astros or whatever, and then the post. And I'm like, damn, I don't need to worry about, because I don't give a rat's ass about what the Yankees and the Mets and the Lakers did, but I get nothing but Houston sports, and it was great programming.
It was pretty badass.
And the other thing was, when you look at the talent that was here, mm-hmm. that now is spread up, James Palmer, who we have on the show, NFL Network, Tiffany Blackman, went on to NFL Network, mm-hmm. Steve Buenin, who was here, now doing TV in Seattle. They had a lot of good talent. What's her name? But she went to Chicago. Layla Rahimi.
Mm.
She went to Chicago and went to through Philadelphia. There was so much talent in that network that got out of Houston, and it was a shame that only 40% of the city got to see the programming and the local content that they put out there, because they worked their ass off.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't realize it all did that, because obviously I didn't see it.
Yeah.
And so we didn't have it. And I tell you what, I lost interest in a way in the Rockets and Astros because of it.
Boom. And that's what I was going to get to, too, because
like,
I was in the room, right?
I don't care. Okay, if you're not going to let me watch them, then why am I going to go out of my way?
I was in the room with the higher-ups making way more money than me with bigger titles when we were talking about all this. And I constantly had to hear those people say, well, we'll just wait it out. Well, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, we're not giving in until we get it done. And I kept saying, people, do you realize what you're doing to your fan base? They're like, we're winning games. Our fan base is – and I'm like, think about this now. If you got a guy – say you're a father and you've got a young son or a young daughter that loves watching Astros Rockets, and they can't watch them. But on the national games, you're getting LeBron. You were getting Kobe back in the day.
Yep.
Baseball, you're not getting the Astros, but maybe you're on Fox Sports and you're getting the Rangers. Or you're getting, guess what? The affinity that's developed there, not only is that ticket sales for a lifetime, it's jerseys and hats and all the different things, the website and all those things. You lose fans for life if that goes on too long. And they couldn't see that. They were just worried about the bottom line and the money. I was like, you're losing your fans because of that.
Look at you, voice of reason.
Yeah. It fell on deaf ears when all they cared about was how heavy their wallets were. And you know what? I read that the David Barron article yesterday on lawsuits that still haven't been solved.
I'm sorry, did I?
Settled. That one's still out there in terms of the Astros and the Rockets trying to sue Comcast to get the
Crane still $100 million. Drayton duped him.
That's another lawsuit still out there. Crane, and they said Crane's got a pretty good legitimate shot to get money from Drayton out of that.
It won't hurt my feelings.
Yeah, so lots of stuff there was on the, but that was just a little flashback to what used to be Comcast Sportsnet and how good it used to be. Hour number one's in the books. That means 2 hours still to go to the big show. Hour number two is right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.